So this is an explanation of episode 149, which should be on your feed as of right now. And that episode is called The Daily Blast. Now in a sentence, and this is really hard to do in a sentence, but in a sentence, what that episode is a dynamically generated podcast episode. And what I mean by that is just that it changes every day. So in theory, and that's in really big air quotes, in theory, no matter when you download that episode, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, its audio will be a little bit different than it was the day before. Now, episode 149, it comes from a new podcast that I've been working on for the better part of a year. It's a little secret project that my friend Martin Zaltz-Ostwick and I have been working on. And that podcast is called Neutrino Watch. And the first six episodes of that show are available now. And episode 149 is just one of those six episodes that I've managed to grab from a different part of the internet and put on this feed. Now, as far as we know, Neutrino Watch is the first podcast of its kind. And so it can be a little bit unpredictable to download. And honestly, I think that's kind of part of the fun. But the main thing you need to know about it is that podcast apps probably won't automatically update it each day. And so if you want to hear the newest version, what you need to do is you need to delete yesterday's episode and then re-download again or stream it again in your app. And that's different per app. And this whole like funny delivery thing is just kind of a side effect of Martin and I doing something with podcasting that it was never really made to do. And kind of on that note, one thing that we do know for sure is that Spotify kind of messes up this kind of content because they just have a really weird approach to how they distribute podcasts. So if you're listening on Spotify, just know that no matter what you do, it's not your fault. They just handle podcasts in a really weird way. And so you should still be able to listen to it, but it's going to be, generally speaking, 1 to 3 days outdated as far as the content goes. And that just has to do with the way that their app works, unfortunately. For everyone else, though, in other apps, you should be able to download a new version of episode 149 once a day. And you can listen to that as many times as you'd like until you get tired of the format. So again, this is a project that Martin and I have been secretly working on for about a year now. And so we're really excited to release it. Again, the show's called Neutrino Watch, and it's currently live on most podcast apps as of today. So that's Neutrino Watch. The rest of this episode is just a conversation that I'm having with Martin about what Neutrino Watch is and how it works. So you can listen to that, or you can go off and listen to episode 149. You know, it's a weird thing, and it's a new thing. So I hope you enjoy. Martin.
Jeff.
So we made a thing, and it's strange.
It is. It's a podcast. And it's called Neutrino Watch.
You know, the term that I've been using in my head for what we've made with Neutrino Watch is a generative daily podcast. I don't know if that term actually means anything to other people or not, but what's your interpretation of that phrase that we've been using?
Yeah, I think that's a good description. So I guess we need something that's punchy, right? Like, it's a daily podcast where every day the episodes are regenerated. Every day they're born anew. That sounds a bit evangelical, right?
I like the way you said that, Martin. Like, it's a way of making a podcast feed feel just a little bit alive.
Right.
I was thinking about this, right? Like, this idea of just dropping this episode on the Here Be Monsters feed and realizing just how intensely confusing it would be.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to just have this conversation with you here, which is going to be, in the end of it, probably 10 times longer than the actual episode on the feed, which isn't saying much because I think that episode most days is probably only, what, like minute and a half, 2 minutes?
Yeah, about that, yeah. I'm always of the theory that if you spend more time explaining a piece of work or art, if that's longer than the piece of art, then you've not really succeeded. Like I saw that going to a lot of like open mic nights where you get a 3 minute explanation for like a 2.5 minute song and it's just like, just play the song, I'll make my mind up. But this is a little more complicated, right?
Well, I think another layer of confusion on that, too, is, you know, it's like we have this whole other podcast feed called Neutrino Watch, which has those, you know, 6 or 7 episodes on it currently that change every day. But also, I think I figured out a way to actually embed one of those ever-changing episodes into the Here Be Monsters feed, too.
Right.
And so if I understood this correctly, and there's no guarantee that I did, people can treat this one episode of Here Be Monsters, episode 149, they can treat it like a Neutrino Watch episode and keep deleting it and re-downloading it and deleting it and re-downloading each day,
right,
and get new content. And the one I'm going to use is the one that we have that's pulling off of news headlines. So as the news changes, the episode will change.
It's nice that you've chosen the most potentially offensive and inflammatory episode to put in your main feed, Jeff. That's a very bold move.
I mean, I'm certainly nervous about that. It is quite offensive, maybe one out of 50 times.
You've put a few filters in place, so hopefully listeners aren't going to be exposed to a lot of Breitbart-style hate speech, but, you know.
Breitbart's on the list.
Yeah, right. Heavily filtered though, right?
Yeah, heavily filtered. It knocks a lot of their content off. The way that episode works, the way episode 149 works, is a conversation between two computerized voices, both of which are interested in hearing the day's news. And one of the characters asks to see stories that are exclusively words that are like neutral or positive, things like she'll ask sometimes to hear stories about mom or dad or hope or good news, even just good news. And then so she'll get some responses based on what the day's headlines are. And then the other character is exclusively interested in kind of darker terms, the word like destroy and blast and eviscerate, I think is one of the words.
Yes.
And so he'll ask about those terms. And the idea is that, you know, you get surprised sometimes by how these words are used in headlines. The positive sounding words have a way of being dark, but overall it's very much taught me that news headlines, especially news headlines, they come from sites that are more inflammatory. They love the word blast.
Yeah.
And there's so many blast stories out there every single day. Someone being blasted on Twitter, someone being blasted by pundits. So the episode is called The Daily Blast. And it changes every day because it's pulling different headlines every day. It's short, too. It's like a minute and a half long, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate that you've scored it with some very calming music.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise it might be a slightly stressful experience. It feels slightly more meditative, like they're sort of floating above the world and intercepting radio signals full of, inflammatory content.
Wendy?
Yes, Ivan.
I'd like to hear the news.
I would like to hear the news.
Is there any news today about slams?
Yes. One American news network reports outgoing UN aid chief slams G7 for failing on vaccine plan.
Yeah, I kind of picture that in my head. I picture the two voices. Their names are Ivan and Wendy. I picture them kind of off in like a 90s like computer dreamscape from a movie, you know what I mean, just kind of floating through the internet to like kind of pixelated robotic forms, just kind of chattering at each other and no one else can hear them.
Ivan, is there any news about Dad?
Yes. The Guardian UK has an article called "The Internet's Not All Bad: How a Tweet Led My Dad to His Dream Job at Costco."
Thank you for giving me the news.
Thank you for giving me the news.
You know, I was wondering if you could explain, Martin, a little bit of what a term I learned from you, the headcanon of the show, because Wendy is, I'm introducing Ivan in this episode, but Wendy is very much a central character.
Yeah, Wendy's very important in this. This is my headcanon. There's something that happens in episode, I guess it's episode 2, an AI called Wendy, who in the fiction of the show is a sort of data analytical AI that lives in Antarctica that's analyzing neutrino data. And Wendy gets sort of affected by this cosmic event. So in my headcanon, Wendy is sort of making podcasts for people. So she knows about the Neutrino Watch podcast, the podcast within the podcast, which is a sort of science communication podcast. And she obviously must have listened to other podcasts, so she starts making shows which are things that she thinks human beings might like. So there's like an astronomy podcast and there's the news podcast, and they're all a little bit off. Like, obviously, if you're an AI that lives almost devoid of real human contact in West Antarctica, you haven't got a very good appraisal of what really entertains people. So in my mind, this could be happening over time, or this could be happening in the moment of this sort of cosmic event that Wendy is wildly like generating ideas for podcasts and sort of putting them onto our feed. So there's a version of this podcast in which we are just sort of passive recipients of Wendy's incredible generation of ideas, and we're just desperately trying to get it into an RSS feed to share it with the world.
Yeah, it's like she's been like stimulated by this cosmic event and is in this fever dream just kind of expressing herself.
Yeah, it's like that scene at the end of like 2001 where he goes through the space tunnel and just loads of stuff happens, but in a fraction of a second, but it's a whole lifetime. But, you know, this could be Wendy just churning and churning, or this could be like her whole life flashing before her eyes as she sort of levels up into a cosmic intelligence.
I mean, that would explain certainly why a lot of the episodes are her, you know, essentially like sifting through your voice memos, or like putting you on a game show with her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in the case of the other episode I was working on a lot, where she reads kind of spammy emails from this character that I play named Gus Harms, who's every day sending you and Wendy like, you know, drafts off of his new demo tapes.
Yes.
New email from Gus Harms. Received today. Subject line: Hey bud, I've got a new band called Reality Anarchy. Attachment 1 of 2, voice memo.m4a.
Hey John, it's Gus Harms here. Hey, I know I haven't seen you in a while, I haven't talked in a while. Actually, I haven't seen you at the shows in a while too, and I'm just reaching out to make sure you're doing good, buddy. I heard that you're actually doing a podcast now.
I mean, he's like, in my mind, Gus Harms is the Pacific Northwest's most prolific, but also most antisocial experimental musician, in that like every single day he joins a band and then he annoys them so much they kick him out, and so he forms another band the next day.
Let me know. I bet you can use this on the show too, so cool. Take care of yourself, buddy.
Attachment 2 of 2. File name, Reality Anarchy - Almost Camelot .mp3.
Yeah, I was really debating whether or not to put that episode on the feed instead of the Daily Blast. Mm-hmm. What's that episode? What did we decide to call that episode? Gus Harms Has Creative Differences?
Yeah. Yeah, with everyone, including himself.
Yeah, and that episode is so charming in a certain way, but in ways that are really hard to explain. The Gus Harms episode is entirely unlistenable, maybe one out of every 10 times, because it just makes absolutely awful music, and so I wasn't sure which to pick. You know, once the episodes are running, we have essentially no control over them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the only music episode on the feed, but yeah, it's one where you've done something. The music is generated from a set of samples that you've built and recorded and exported. Like, you've created a system that means it's not just a load of random noise and bleeps thrown together. Like, but I don't really understand how you've done it, because I know we've had conversations over the months, but at some point I just lost track of the alchemy that you were creating.
I mean, it's kind of funny, right, Martin? Because like, that was the first like complicated thing I'd ever written with code. And I think you can speak to this experience too, is you very often go back and look at code and you have no clue what you were thinking. And even your comments that you leave in the code,
yeah,
it's like, this made so much sense to me at some point. And that was very much, yeah, like me really like learning on the spot.
I mean, I always like working with people when they're learning to code. It's a really satisfying experience when you get to, just to get code to run is a really satisfying experience, because it's very pedantic. Mm-hmm. It's not like written language where you can say, I got the dog or I get the dog, and it doesn't really matter. You know, people know what you mean. If you miscapitalize dog in a programming language, it will freak out and give you an error and the code won't run and it'll throw its, you know, toys out of the pram. And I guess on my side, like, I have a little more coding experience, but actually working with you has forced me to be a little bit more consistent about my coding, you know, use reusable packages and things like that, so that we're not just rewriting all of the same stuff that we did for a previous episode. When we come to a new episode, we've got some reusable components that we can use. There's some stuff that I think could be quite useful for people where we're, you know, using text files to basically create a set of instructions that will build a mix in the same way that you would in sort of editing software in a DAW.
You know, one thing, I think you're kind of alluding to this a little bit, Martin, but like, I think you've had more time here recently to think about the future of the show. And so like, as we're launching this, we have a variety of episodes. We've got, a lot of them are actually quite musical. We have one that's based around planetary movements and the stars.
Yeah.
We have one that's based around dates. We have one that I think is mostly just random. And then this headlines one. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you thinking about for the future of the feed as we move this forward?
Well, one of the things I'm really interested in, like most of the stuff we've done so far has tended to focus on sonics, so like constructing music and sound, not exclusively, but I'm also interested in the use of, you know, AI and randomization and things like that for language construction and substitution, whether we can sort of take well-known out of copyright pieces of texts and start to mess with them to reconstruct different stories, which starts to lead you into a lot of like Ulipean ideas, like the Ulipo poets, where they use a lot of very, very structural devices to create new poetry and new pieces of text. So I'm really interested in that. And once you get into that, you'll write into text-to-speech conversion, you know, trying to make voices that sound pleasing. I really like Wendy, who's our AI, but she is at the moment an off-the-shelf voice synthesizer, and it can be quite a lot of work to get her to be understandable to the listener, and it can still be a little tiring on the ears to be following along with what she's saying. So there's lots of things like that where I'd like to experiment with, you know, maybe even things that link to real physical characteristics in the world, like the tides or the planets, stars and the lunar cycles and so on.
Yeah. One of the things that sounds like just immense amounts of work, but would be really satisfying is that, you know, you and I have talked about the idea of deep faking our own voices so that we could kind of jump out of the realm of like using pre-recorded clips and into the realm of being able to, in a at least semi-convincing way, synthesize our own voices.
Yeah, for sure. It's significantly more complex than anything we've done so far with the project. But yeah, if we could get that to work, it'd be pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
There's only the world outside my window. Human beings cocooning in glass. I never thought I'd see myself as mineral.
I realize also, Martin, I've just kind of been talking to you as if you're a known person to Here Be Monsters listeners, but I don't think you've ever been on the show. We've known each other for ages, but maybe can you say who you are?
Yeah, of course. My name's Martin Austwick, and I'm an audio maker, I guess. I make the podcast people will probably have heard that I'm involved with is called Answer Me This, which is a comedy podcast. But I also make a podcast called Song by Song, which is about Tom Waits. And I made a podcast last year called Maddie's Sound Explorers, which is a musical science podcast for kids.
You're also a secret scientist, right?
Well, yeah, not so secret. I have a physics doctorate from back in the day. Quantum computing, mostly, but a weird mix of quantum computing and material science and a bit of synthetic chemistry.
Thank you.
Oh, I've got just as a palate refresher, like I've got a metaphor for neutrino watch. Can I try it out?
Oh, yeah, please.
Here we go. This is a metaphor for neutrino watch, right? Like, see whether Hibby Monsters listeners think of this, okay? Like a regular daily podcast, like The Daily, it's like getting a newspaper delivered to your house every day, right? You get a newspaper, it's got a different, you know, each one's got a different front cover. You've got a big stack of newspapers you've got to read through. With neutrino watch, you only get a magazine through every, month or something. But when you look back at that magazine the next day, it's got a different cover. There's only six magazines, but when you leaf through them, hang on, I don't remember that being on the cover. Is that useful? Does that work? Is that a useful metaphor for podcast listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you could take it even further and say it's almost like trying to like remember a dream and all the details keep changing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a recurring nightmare in which you're in a different city with your clothes off each time. I think this is really helping. I think this is going to really clarify the image of the podcast in the listeners' minds.
Speaking of nightmares, right? Like we've kind of knowingly introduced a number of technical nightmares into this because we're doing something with this feed that isn't really being expected by a lot of podcasting clients. And to be honest with you, most of them just kind of roll with the punches. Like most of them just kind of are like, oh, this is different. I don't care. Or this is different and I haven't even noticed. Like that's what we were kind of going for, was just kind of doing this surreptitiously. But especially like newer podcast apps, we've been having more problems with, because they are like being more diligent and watchful of like what's on the feed. And it's not like they're like trying to block us or anything. It's not like malicious, but it's like they get confused sometimes. And there's a decent chance that episode 149 of this feed or the entirety of Neutrino Watch might mess up your podcast app a little bit in like an interesting way, not like in a like you got a virus way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not giving people a virus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's worth trying it a couple times, you know. Try downloading it and deleting it. And if it doesn't work the first time, you might just need to do it again. Or you might need to try a different podcast app. Because, yeah, again, it is just kind of a unusual use of the way podcast feeds work.
Yeah. Most podcasts, when you get a new episode, it'll appear on the list. It's like, we're not doing that. We've got the same list of episodes. It's just the thing it points to, the audio file. That's the thing that changes, right? And I don't think anyone, I don't think anyone's done that. I could be wrong about that, apart from, you know, ad injection stuff that we've talked about. But though, ad injection works, so it should work, right?
I think so. Yeah. I'm so excited about this just because we worked on this for so long and it is so weird. It is just such a weird show.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, we're on all the podcast directories at this point. And it should just involve just a simple search for Neutrino Watch, right? And one thing that tripped me up a lot when we were starting this is that Neutrino is spelled N-E-U.
Yeah.
I was flipping the vowels earlier. So it's N-E-U Trino Watch, all one word, right?
It's like spelled like neutral. But then maybe that doesn't help if you can't spell neutral. Maybe you can't spell Neutrino. That's fair.
It's got a logo on it that's like a computer sitting out on a sheet of ice. With a V on the screen, right?
It's a new,
but it looks like a V.
Yeah, again, we don't want people's ability to download the podcast to hinge on their knowledge of the Greek alphabet, but...
Martin, it would be a shame if we made a confusing piece of media, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think at this point we're compounding a confusing piece of media with a podcast within a podcast that has the same name with a Greek letter. You know, it's really... It'd be a minor miracle if anyone succeeds in subscribing to the show.
You know what I'm really glad though, Martin, is you snagged the domain name neutrino.watch.
Yeah, it's satisfying, isn't it, neutrino.watch?
It's very satisfying. It is very much early days for the world of generative podcasting. I'm very hopeful that we're not the last to try this.
We may be the first.
We might be the first or close to the first. And I really hope we're not the last. So that is kind of one of the longer term goals that you set up, Martin, which I'm very much in favor of, is at some point releasing tools to other people in a free way so that other people can make shows similar to Neutrino Watch with ever-changing, ever-shifting content.
And even before that, I mean, you talked about plans for the future. Like there's people that we've already talked about would love to collaborate with if they're interested in writing with us on the show, if they've got an idea which fits this very particular framework. And really the framework is, it's a podcast that changes every day. So that's quite wide and quite broad when you think about it.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this launch, Martin. We might break our website. We might break...
I might break my Dropbox account.
We might break your Dropbox account. We might break our podcast host. We might break Spotify. We might break all sorts of things. I don't think we're in danger of breaking the internet, Martin. But we might get close.
Yeah.
So, Neutrino Watch, right? So that's what... this is all in service of explaining what episode 149 is. Episode 149 is an episode of Neutrino Watch, theoretically. So you should be able to download and delete and re-download that episode as many times as you'd like and get new content each time. Neutrino Watch.
Neutrino.watch.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for giving me the news.
Thank you for giving me the news.